The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
The most important thing, we trust one another. What happened, we trust one another, and that's why we came up with the win.
The head coach.
We're just going to have to be more disciplined. He's going to have to be more disciplined.
And the fans.
We have some talented players, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to compete at this level of the NBA with what we have going on.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks beat the Pistons 115-92. It's the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza, one of my favorite frozen pizzas. No Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Ryan Horvath and the Mayor Mitch Ross filling in tonight for Sparky, who has the night off. Also taking the night off tonight, the Detroit Pistons. Once again, 115-92 Bucks winners at the Pfizer Forum. 414-799-1250. Once again, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. Find us on Facebook. Find my man Mitch on Tinder. I think you're on there. You on Tinder, Mitch?
Indeed I am, Ryan. Thank you.
All right. Find him there. Hit us up.
How about Twitter? I'm on there, too.
Hit him up on Twitter. Hit us all up, as we'll be breaking this one down for the next hour or so. And I want to know what this win means for you, because you're coming off a disappointing loss to the Knicks Saturday in a game where Chris Middleton was benched for his lack of effort on the defensive end, among other things. You're headed into a matchup with the defending champion Warriors, who you've already beat this season, so they're going to have some revenge on the mind. They're also fully healthy at this point, minus, obviously, DeMarcus Cousins, who we won't see until, you know, after Christmas, second half of the season. But, I was nervous heading into this one. I was so nervous, Mitch, that I actually texted you yesterday because we look on paper every single season.
You're like, man, I've been watching the last six Pistons games. Yeah, Blake Griffin looks really good.
The last six Pistons
games. Yeah, like the Pistons are hot.
That's where my life is heading. In fact, my wife walks down to the basement 2 days ago. She's like, what are you doing? There's college football on, and I'm watching the Detroit Pistons. Because they've looked good, man. They've been one of the hottest teams in the NBA, winners of eight of their last 11 heading into tonight, including a win over the Warriors. You may say it's the Pistons you should win this game because for pretty much the last decade, the Pistons have been irrelevant. Bad contract after bad contract. 1 year they had about eight guards in the lineup. Ben Gordon, Rodney Stuckey, nice role players who are getting paid like superstars. Now they're a legit NBA team, in my opinion. It all starts with coaching. And that's what I texted you, Mitch. Dwayne Casey, a good NBA coach. Changed literally the whole system in Toronto last year. DeMar DeRozan, all of a sudden, before they traded him, discovered a three-point shot. He was more of just a mid-range jump shooter. Literally changed that whole offensive system. They get the number one seed in the East. They get swept by the King, the best player not only in the East at the time, but on the planet. And Dwayne Casey loses his job. So I think the difference between the Pistons and last year, well, let me start off with this, though. So the Pistons at this point of the season are at the same point that they were last season, however. They got off to a fast start. Everybody said, man, the Pistons look like they might be for real. And then all of a sudden they kind of fell off. But Blake Griffin, see, when he left L.A., to be quite honest, I thought that we were going to see with Blake Griffin what we see with a lot of superstars, especially guys like him, explosive players. They kind of, once you fade, once those championship dreams end, like they did in Lob City, him and Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, J.J. Redick. It didn't work out for him. So he goes to Detroit, and I figure his career is going there to die. He'll get his 18 points per game, his seven boards. He's a marketable player, man. I mean, I like my Blake Griffin, though. I like my Blake Griffin jumping over automobiles, to tell you the truth. Like, I love him leaping over a truck. But I was like, man, he's lost a little bit of that explosiveness. But he's changed his game around completely, if you've noticed. Like, he's a jump shooter. They run their entire offense around him, which is insane. He's averaging five assists a game. He leads the Pistons in assists at the power forward position. And he's averaging almost 25 points per game, man. Andre Drummond averaging 18 points per game, leads the league in rebounds, 16 boards a game. And they're getting solid production from guys like Reggie Jackson, Stanley Johnson finally making a difference in the NBA. Looked like he was going to be a bust for a while. So, I mean, even though the Bucks on paper, they're the better team heading into this game. And now we see it after the game. I was a little worried about this one. What say you, Mitch? Were you worried heading into this one or no?
I mean, I'm worried every night. And honestly, with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin coming in, a lot of size inside. And I know the Bucks have added Brook Lopez, big body, Splash Mountain and everything. But Drummond always scares me because he seems to – and there was a game last year where the Bucks got blown out in Detroit. And here's Andre Drummond making free throws. And it's like you could always rely on that. Now he's making like 7 out of 10 free throws or something. And then that's killing you. But really, I mean, a little bit of a mash unit from the Pistons tonight. So – you know, and one guy I was going to say who also didn't show up, Chris Middleton, who you know, we have to get into here a little bit on the show as well, obviously, with that's kind of the bigger story here. Kind of took the wind out of the sails a little bit, probably, of the Bucks. And, you know, that was such a late thing, and it's, you know, in case you guys didn't catch it, he was not with the team tonight for personal reasons, which is obviously mysterious because he was benched on Saturday in New York, and... you know, the timing and the optics of that don't look great, certainly. Now, maybe there was a legitimate reason, but all signs pointed to that he and Coach Bud had cleared the air. And, you know, I think Middleton understood why it happened and everybody was moving on. But now he's suddenly tonight not with the team. Obviously, it didn't matter in the outcome of the game. The Bucks roll tonight. So, yeah, I mean, we'll have to definitely get into that. And you know, but as far as the game tonight, I was a little bit worried. I thought the 8.5 spread or whatever it was a little juicy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it worked out in the Bucks' favor, and they were able to really shut down the Pistons. They shoot just 36% tonight. Blake Griffin got his 31, as you were alluding to there. But, I mean, the Bucks were able to shut everybody else down.
Yeah, I mean, minus Blake Griffin, nobody else really did anything. 31 points for Blake tonight. He had 7 turnovers, though. He had a block, 4 assists, 7 boards. Other than that, man, Andre Drummond, 10 points, Reggie Jackson, 15. Nobody really did anything. In fact, it was kind of a boring game, to be quite honest, as we sit here and watch. But that's the kind of game that we're all looking for. And here's what I want to hit on. You brought up Chris Middleton. That's where I plan to go to start this show. How would he bounce back after being benched? Because that's what I love about Mike Budenholzer early here. I talk about head coaching in the NBA every single season, and I say, how important is it? If you're a team like the Bucks, it's very, very, very important. Now, the Warriors, they could probably coast if Steve Kerr goes and has back surgery. I mean, Luke Walton had the best record in the NBA when that happened. But for the Bucks, for a young team, and for a team of veterans, because that's what I want to get into, it's very important to have a guy like Mike Budenholzer, because we see it once again tonight. It's the first half. They've been preaching defense. In fact, that's why Middleton was benched, because of his lack of defensive effort, I guess.
Just overall, I think.
Just lack of effort. Yeah. I mean, he gives up the rebound. Yeah, exactly. But... so tonight, they give up they get themselves caught up in a pick-and-roll situation. They give up a bucket, and Mike Budenholzer calls a timeout. This is the first half, and he goes insane on Brook Lopez. And Lopez kind of just, like, waves him off. But that's what I like about Budenholzer, man, because a lot of these guys, a lot of these head coaches, and it's more just the younger head coaches, they don't really go after veteran players. Like, name me another head coach in the NBA besides Greg Popovich, Tom Thibodeau, that would bench a guy after 18 minutes for the second half and for an overtime period, especially a guy coming up on a contract year.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got egos. Everybody wants to pad those stats. Even if you're not bringing it at 100%, you want to get your 22 points, your 7 boards, your 5 assists, because you're coming up on a contract year. If you're healthy, you want those numbers. So that's what I appreciate about Mike Budenholzer. And if it showed tonight, because the Bucks finally play a complete game. You start off the first quarter, you outscore the Pistons 30-21. And you go into the second quarter with all the momentum because Giannis dunks on Andre Drummond, just puts him on a poster. In fact, Giannis put two guys on a poster tonight, Drummond and Blake Griffin. Second quarter, no let up. 26-24, you outscore Detroit. So you go into half with the lead. And then in the third quarter, you come out and you don't let up. 28-19, you outscore the Pistons. 31-28, you outscore them in the fourth quarter. Once again, final score, 115-92, Bucks winners. If you're leaving the stadium, if you're just getting out of the stadium, give us a call, 414-799-1250. Once again, that's 414-799-1250. I saw everybody complaining about on Twitter over the weekend. Can't play down to competition. Got to beat the bad teams. Tonight, they beat a pretty solid team, in my opinion. So Bucks now 16-7 on the year, 12-2 at home. So taking business at home. Pistons dropped to 13-9, 4-5 on the road. Another solid night for Eric Bledsoe, his second in a row. 27 points, 4 assists, 4 steals. Here's the most important stat to me. 1 turnover. And Mitch, I listened to the show. It was you and Sparky after the Knicks loss, and you brought up you wanted to see more from the team because in the beginning of the year, Giannis wasn't really putting up Giannis numbers yet, but everybody else was stepping up. Tonight, first half, Giannis, 3 fouls, 3 turnovers. Well, six points only. And tonight, I mean, he only scores 15, grabs 8 rebounds, 5 assists, but he didn't really have a Giannis night, and you still blow out a pretty good Pistons team.
And it's not that I don't want Giannis to you know, produce. I certainly love it when he has 36 points. But, you know, there's times where it's like, man, maybe he'd make that extra pass or, you know, not try to do too much. It would behoove the team. And, you know, you've seen some up and down play the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Giannis has been pretty consistently good. Now tonight you had another night where he was not as much of a factor, just 15 points, as you just said. And you know, it allowed Eric Bledsoe to be that lead dog. And it paid off well.
Yeah, absolutely. 6 players scoring double figures tonight. In fact, everybody gets in the mix. Christian Wood in the mix. Jalen Morris in the mix. Planet Pat in the mix. And then my boy who's with us tonight, Evan Heffelfinger, his main man, DJ Wilson, gets some run.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to have Evan back with us. He did some interning with us during the Brewer season. So Ryan Horvat, Mayor Mitch Ross, Evan Heffelfinger, give us a call, 414-799-1250. Once again, Eric Bledsoe, 27 points, 4 assists, 4 steals, just 1 turnover. And the Bucks win 115-92. We'll hear from Coach Bud. We'll get the shot of the game, defensive play of the game, and we're going to go into the box score here coming up. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Milwaukee postgame show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
Bucks win 115-92. Improve their record to 16-7 on the season, 12-2 at home. Pistons fall to 13-9, 4-5, 4-5 away from 8 Mile over there in Detroit. You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza, which I actually have one of those sitting in my refrigerator ready to go when
I
get
home.
I'm not going to lie, man.
I could go for one right now.
So, Mitch, real quick, and we'll get back to obviously, we got to get to the box score here, but I had the flu twice in 1 month. I hadn't had the flu since the sixth grade. Got the flu. Had to miss a Bill Michaels show. Thanksgiving rolls around, my favorite holiday. I'm all excited, man. The turkey's out, the mashed potatoes, the gravy, the dressing, all that fun stuff. All of a sudden, I wake up, and I just do not feel good. And I always used to go out Black Wednesday and feel awful. So my family would give me some crap like, hey, man, this is your favorite holiday. Maybe you should try to enjoy it 1 year. So this year, I stay sober, I stay home, and I wake up and I have the flu. So I haven't been able to eat anything. I'm taking antibiotics. I'm eating like lettuce and fruit and vegetables.
Hopefully not romaine.
No, not romaine. But,
okay, good.
So I'm excited just to get home, dive into a pepperoni pizza. But anyway, let's dip into the box score here. Bucks 115, Pistons 92. Giannis gets in some foul trouble in the first half, picks up 3 fouls, has 3 turnovers. Not a typical Giannis first half. Plays 26 minutes overall, goes 6 of 12 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, 3 for 4 from the foul line, which is encouraging, although didn't have to really make any clutch free throws down the stretch when you win by 20. 8 boards, 7 on the defensive end, 5 assists, a steal, a block, turns the ball over 5 times. But 3 of those are in the first half, and, you know, 2 of them are on offensive fouls. Finishes the game with 4 fouls, 15 points. Brooke Lopez plays 26 minutes, goes 2 of 5 from the floor. All 3-pointers, of course. Pulls down 7 boards, finishes with assist, a steal, 3 blocks for Brooke Lopez. Don't tell me he doesn't defend under the basket. 3 blocks, he's plus 22 tonight. Finishes the night with 6 points. Eric Bledsoe, another impressive night. He was good against the Knicks, good again once. Again tonight, 10 of 17 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3, goes 5 of 5 from the free throw line, pulls down 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, turns the ball over just 1 time, 27 points. Malcolm Brogdon, he played great tonight, and I don't know if this is going to come out on the box score, especially because he only played 21 minutes, but, I mean, 5 quick points there in the first half. Ends the game 14 points on 5 of 10 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3-point land, 2 of 2 from the foul stripe, or from the foul line, I should say, 6 boards, 2 assists. And 2 turnovers. He's plus 14 tonight. Tony Snell, 25 minutes. He gets the start tonight for Chris Middleton. Once again, that's the big story. No Chris Middleton tonight after being benched in New York in the loss to the Knicks. No Chris Middleton. They say it's a personal matter. We hope to hear a little bit more about that when we check in with Matt Velasquez. But Snell goes 2-for-5 from the floor, 7-for-7 from the free throw line. How about that? Tony Snell getting to the foul line tonight, to the charity stripe, 7 times. 6 rebounds on the defensive end, finishes with 7 total, an assist, 2 steals, 11 points for Tony Snell, who...
A whole 11.
You know what's insane? I get in this offense, everybody has the green light, right? There's no bad shots. Maybe Tony Snell should have the green light. 2-9 against the Knicks, starts 0-for-3 again tonight. He took some really bad shots in transition where he didn't even get set, and he's just hoisting them. That's not really Tony Snell's game. We go down to the bench here in the box score. Christian Wood, 7 points, 2-for-3 on field goals, finishes the night with 4 rebounds, 6 points. DJ Wilson plays 6 minutes. Evan Heffelfinger really excited about that. 2-for-3 from the field, 7 points he finishes with. Thon Maker gets 21 minutes. In fact, he had 9 points in the first half on 3 threes, finishes the night, I'm sorry, on 2 threes, because he finishes the night 2-of-6, 3-of-8 from the field, finishes in double figures with 11 points. Matthew Dellavedova gets 20 minutes tonight, and that's what happens when you beat up on the Pistons, 115-92. He finishes the night with 2 points, 6 assists, ran the offense all right, but 3 turnovers, 4 personal fouls for Dellavedova. Sterling Brown plays solid once again tonight, gets 19 minutes with Chris Middleton sitting out. 4-6 from the floor, 11 points. He was +4. Dante DiVincenzo, 3 points on 1-of-5 shooting. Just played 17 minutes tonight, 2 boards. And then we really get down into it with Planet Pat. He plays 19 minutes, finishes scoreless, 0-for-3 from three-point land. That's all he puts up. And then Jalen Morris.
I believe that's 2 consecutive games from Pat Connaughton not putting up any points in anybody's faces. So we'll see what's going on there.
Right, and he's still getting the minutes, finishes the night with 2 rebounds, 3 assists, so he's doing the little things. He's +6 on the floor tonight, and then Jalen Morris finishes the night with 6 minutes, 1-for-3 from the floor, 2 points. So that's how it ends up. The Bucks shoot 38 of 82, 46% they shoot tonight, including 14 of 41 from three-point land, 34% there. They go 25 for 30 at the charity stripe, they shoot 83%. Finish the game with 46 rebounds, 25 assists, 4 blocks, and 15 turnovers. So that 25-15 assist-to-turnover ratio, what do you think about that, Mitch? Is that about where you want to be?
Yeah, for sure.
And then you got the Pistons. See, the Pistons, offensively, they struggle. They struggle at times. They run their offense through Blake Griffin. He pretty much is their offense. Leads the team in assists, as mentioned, with 5 assists a game. He's 11th in scoring. But without him, man, I mean, tonight on the glass, they – finish with 51 rebounds. They're going to beat every single team pretty much they play this year.
Well, Drummond leads the league in rebounding. That's why he scared me coming in.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of neutralize it a little bit. A lot of long rebounds, stuff like that. So
he's a walking double-double. But Drummond, in my opinion, has regressed a little bit. Remember those 2 losses? Let's go into last season real quick. Remember those 2 losses in Detroit that the Bucks had? I think in one of them, Giannis had like 11 points. Didn't do too much. But they were running their offense through Andre Drummond last year. Now Blake Griffin's kind of doing the same thing, but you mentioned the free throw shooting. Remember last year, first 2 months of the season, he was shooting like 80%, and everybody's like, oh, he finally figured it out.
That's kind of like DeAndre Jordan this year.
Right, and now he's back down to like 46%. So yeah. The Pistons, I don't know if they're going to be there long-term. They're 13-9 once again. They were one of the hottest teams in the NBA. Now they're kind of coming back down to earth. They got clubbed by OKC over the weekend, and then they come and get clubbed again here by the Bucks. 115-92, once again, the final score. 414-799-1250. Once again, 414-799-1250. Give us a call. Let us know. I mean, everybody was complaining. You play down to teams. You got to beat the bad teams. Tonight you beat a pretty good Pistons team, and it's an important win in my book because it's easy. Okay, it's easy with Chris Middleton out tonight, your second-best player, your second-best scorer, to overlook a team like the Pistons. Because Friday night, you got the defending champs coming to town.
Right.
It's an 8:30 p.m. tip-off, which I'm kind of sick of people complaining about the 8:30 p.m. tip-off, to tell you the truth. Because
on a Friday, it's great.
Nobody works 9 to 5 anymore, and traffic on Friday nights is ridiculous. I mean, it's not like you're in New York City or in Chicago, but it still takes some time to get down to the arena, get yourself a nice beverage, get yourself some food, get yourself a Planet Pat jersey, or like my man Evan Heffelfinger over here, a DJ Wilson jersey.
Yeah.
and like sit down, enjoy, watch warm-ups.
I mean, 8:30 tips are great because it, you know, the crowd's into it.
It's a Friday night.
It's going to be sold out on Friday night.
And you're playing the defending champion.
You got a little time to get some to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, 7 o'clock, have a couple of beverages, and walk in and have a couple more and start feeling it. Maybe the Bucks go on a nice run in the first half to get you excited, and you know, and then hopefully hold off a Golden State fury in the second half like they were able to out in Oakland. So, I mean, you're going to get Golden State's best shot.
You're definitely going to get Golden State's best shot.
I don't believe Draymond Green is back yet.
Draymond's not back yet.
And no DeMarcus Cousins, obviously.
In fact, I don't even think we see him until probably the final two
Steph Curry had 42 tonight, so.
And that's where I'm starting to get a little bit worried because Steph's back. See, I get a kick out of and we could talk about this a little bit. I get a kick out of the NBA every year because right now the main story in the NBA is that the Warriors have regressed. And I think right now the Warriors have it figured out, man. The year they won 73 games, they kind of crashed out in the regular season. Then you get to the playoffs, into the postseason, and you got dead legs. So now, I mean, you could kind of just chalk it up, get that second, third seed in the West, and you're set for the playoffs, to be quite honest with you. They have it figured out. Also, there's more parity in the NBA now more than ever, in my opinion. That's why I don't mind a loss to the Knicks. The loss to the Suns bothered me a little bit more than the loss to the Knicks last week because the Knicks aren't going to hit 23-pointers. Emmanuel Mudiay isn't going to drop 28 on you every night.
Right.
You know, you're not going to have a rookie score 26 on you. But that's the thing. There's more parity in the NBA now more than ever because everybody has young and up-and-coming good players.
I was going to say, there's been so many good draft classes lately.
Mm-hmm.
Even this year's is looking good, too. I mean, Luka Doncic has been unbelievable.
How did he fall? How was
to what, third?
To third.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Phoenix would take him.
I laughed at people saying, I don't know if his game will translate, and he's just hitting step-back threes. He's just doing things that you see in video games. His mom's smoking hot. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah. And he's not the most athletic guy in the world either.
No.
I mean, he's just got that craftiness mm-hmm. and like that Euro style.
Euro style, exactly.
So, you know, he's been tremendous. Trae Young's been kind of pretty much as we thought he would be.
Actually, a little bit better than I thought, Trae
yeah,
Young.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's... You know, it helps to be able to shoot from 40 feet out.
Right. I see a little Steph Curry. Like, I was worried that Trae Young wasn't going to be able to get shots up in the NBA, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And
he's proved us wrong.
He's exceeding my expectations. But that's a great point right there because it used to be if you didn't have a lottery pick, you were screwed in the NBA draft. Like, 9, 10, 11, if you were picking there, you were trying to move up or you were trying to package that pick, bring in a European guy, stash him. You didn't want that pick because if you were picking outside of the first –
But then you get a Paul George at 10th overall.
You get a Malcolm Brogdon.
You get Brogdon at 36 or 38.
You get a Jimmy Butler.
Green was 36.
Draymond Green, exactly.
Somewhere in there. Second round for sure.
Right. So in my opinion, there's more parity. So some of these losses don't really bother me as much as they bother Bucks Twitter, Bucks social media because of the parity in the NBA. And a good point of that, or a good example of that, look at the Western Conference right now, man. The Clippers are the number one seed in the Western Conference. Tobias Harris was Western Conference
again,
Player of the Week.
That's a team the Bucks lost by two points.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, we're playing down to our competition. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you lost to Memphis. The Bucks have lost 7 times this year. 6 of them are by 4 points or less.
Here's the crazy thing.
And the only game that kind of got out of hand was the game in Portland, and they lost by 15, 118 to 103. And that game was closer than that.
Much closer than that. And that's a great point right there. But
if CJ McCollum doesn't hit every shot he takes, that game's probably 10 points closer.
And I love watching Eastern. The best thing in the world, the best thing on this planet right now is NBA League Pass because I could watch any Eastern Conference or Western Conference team this year and enjoy it, to be quite honest with you, because there's more parity more than ever. And the reason for that is because LeBron James packed up and headed west. Now it's wide open.
Yep.
And I want to dive into that a little bit because the Raptors, obviously the best team in the NBA currently with over 20 wins, but they've also played the weakest competition. We could get into that. Bucks have played some of the toughest competition. We're going to take a quick break. Real quick, though, before we do that, let's get to the shot of the game. And I let my man Evan Heffelfinger pick this one out. Evan, crack your mic real quick and tell us about
out
it.
There.
Tell us about the shot of the game for us.
Just kind of keeping you focused.
Guy,
but what did the running rules provide
guys,
for you maybe that – You know, you
DJ
may not
Wilson.
Have gotten so much of it.
All right, shut that mic off because we got something coming on over there. DJ Wilson.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Let's get tonight's shot of the game. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
DJ Wilson with your shot of the game tonight. In fact, he plays 6 minutes of garbage time, his first action of the season. My man Evan Heffelfinger goes insane. But he finishes the night 2 of 3 from three-point land. 7 points. Picks up 3 fouls in those 6 minutes. But 7 points. Here's one of those threes right now.
Thomas drafted by Philadelphia. DJ Wilson, what a way to start.
Yeah, I don't need to warm up. I'm a young dude, man. I don't need to stretch. I don't need to warm up. Here come my three.
Exactly. Doesn't even need to stretch. Young dude gets out there, hits 2 threes. That's your shot of the game. Brought to you by Dave & Buster's Wauwatosa. Eat, drink, play, and watch. We're going to hit a quick break. I want to hear from you guys. 414-799-1250. If you're leaving the arena, give us a call. Let us know what this win means for you. Let us know your excitement level for Friday night, 8:30 p.m. Pfizer Forum. We got the defending champs coming to town. We beat them once.
They're finals, little finals preview.
Little finals preview. Give us a call. You're listening to 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Manis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
Bucks win 115-92 over the Detroit Pistons here on a Wednesday evening. Ryan Horvath, the mayor, Mitch Ross, my main man Evan Heffelfinger with you here. Celebrating a little bit because no letdown tonight. We got the defending champs coming in for a Friday night showdown, and now it's time to get to the defensive play of the game. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power on the web at LIUNA113.org. In the defensive play of the game, now this is a little bit of a cluster because you get Bledsoe, Brogdon, and Brook Lopez all clamping down on D, and it sets up this poster dunk from Giannis to give the Bucks a 21-point lead.
Bledsoe, good job. He was helping out a double team with Brogdon. Still got a hand on the ball to deflect, and the defense prevails one more time.
There were a lot of guys in on that giving help. Well done, defensive hands.
Okay, so there's your poster tonight.
Well, Griffin stayed in front of him, and he's powerful, but Giannis was able to move him out.
Blake Griffin did not want that smoke. Bucks win 115-92. It's funny, you know, Giannis finishes the night with 15 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, 2 posters. And he posterizes one of the better big men in the league, in my opinion. I mean, and then Blake Griffin as well. But, yeah, Eric Bledsoe finishes with 27 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Malcolm Brogdon, 14 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, and the Bucks now 16-7 on the year, 12-2 at home, doing what they need to do, taking care of business on their home floor and beating up on the teams that they should beat up on. Pistons dropped to 13-9, 4-5 away from Detroit. Warriors coming to town this Friday. I'm excited. The big story of the night, I kind of had this all planned out. Now, Ryan Horvath with you here, filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. This is my first Bucks postgame. And so, you know how it goes, Mitch. I was like, man, what am I going to talk about tonight? Because we got the Pistons. It's a Wednesday night. You're coming off a disappointing loss to the Knicks. They're also coming off a loss. And this is the biggest stretch the Bucks have went without playing a game. I mean, your last game was on Saturday, so you're kind of sitting around.
Yeah, they played like one game in 7 days.
And so you're sitting around. You're thinking about that loss. You have the whole Chris Middleton drama, which I want to get a little bit into because tonight he's a no-show. Misses the game with a personal matter, and we'll hear from Coach Budenholzer and maybe get a little bit more clarification on that. But they say non-basketball related has nothing to do, obviously, with him being benched. Just a personal matter came up like it does. Don't really want to speculate on anything like that in somebody else's personal life. But that was kind of where I wanted to hit tonight. I wanted to see how Chris Middleton would respond after being benched for pretty much the entire second half and overtime period in a loss to the lowly New York Knicks. 414-799-1250. What is going on right now with Chris Middleton? Where is he at? We got to get to a sports flash here with the mayor, Mitch Ross, and then we'll be back with more here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks bounce back tonight in a big way. 115-92 winners over the Pistons at home. 16-7 on the season. Eric Bledsoe matches his season high. 27 points in the victory. Just one assist. Doing a great job of taking care of the basketball. Chris Middleton, the big story. Heading into the game and heading out in the game. Inactive for personal reasons. Try to get some clarification. Let's head over to the podium and hear from Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer.
I thought the effort by our guys was, very good, and the togetherness felt like we were very together defensively. And sometimes you take 3 or 4 days without a game, but it's good to see our guys come out and start with a good aggressiveness on both ends and find a way to beat a good team. Probably, 75 minutes, 80, 90 minutes before the game.
What do you say about your guys that you're able to take that information and be able to play the way that you guys did tonight without them?
Yeah, no, I think, these guys, they all put a lot of time and effort in, and they all want to be there for each other and for other guys to step up when needed. It's always a good sign, and, we talk about being prepared for your opportunities, and different guys, either get bigger opportunities or get to play that haven't been playing, so it's good for them.
At times this year, your defense has suffered a little bit when the offense isn't hitting shots. You guys weren't hitting a ton of shots tonight, and the defense was still there. Does, the message you were trying to drive home the last couple of days, it feel like it got through?
Well, I certainly, as I said at the beginning, I think the defense was, closer to what we wanted to be. I think the togetherness on that end of the court, everybody kind of working in concert, is, I'm sure we'll go through and find stuff where we can get better and improve, but, there was a lot of positives.
I'm wondering what your vantage point was of that Eric Bledsoe to Thon Maker dunk and what you thought that kind of said about Eric as a point guard.
Oh, yeah, in the transition where it's kind of just the breakaway. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great when your point guard is, willing to set other people guys up, make the unselfish play. Eric does still get an assist, so I'm sure he likes that. It's always good to see those kind of guys, to give to each other and take care of each other.
Coach, Sterling has taken advantage of the increased opportunity. It looked like Detroit was making a little move in the third. And he hits back-to-back threes, and all of a sudden your lead goes back to 21. Just like that, it was kind of felt like there was no fight back after that.
Yeah, I really feel like Sterling is kind of, one of those guys that's taking advantage of his opportunity, maybe getting more comfortable. He's been maybe not playing as much as he did tonight, but been playing on a regular basis. And, I think he, as you said, made a couple threes, and I think there's a physicality that comes with Sterling on both ends. So, very excited about kind of where he's progressing and where he is right now.
Just on Eric's scoring tonight, obviously you lose Chris, and it seemed like he had a great intent from the start to attack and be aggressive. He's done so many other little things through the year that scoring sometimes taking a back seat, but how did you see his performance?
Yeah, I thought, he kind of set the tone for us offensively, just in half-court situations and his ability to drive and get to the paint. It really felt like it kind of gave us that little, edge early that, we were able to maintain. I thought he was great.
I haven't had a chance to run with this one too many times, but Dally and Thon obviously played big minutes tonight. How did you see their performance? I know Greg already touched on
it. Outstanding. They were phenomenal. They have a good connection. They know how to work well together. Dele's such in the pick and roll, I think, when he's got guys that can roll and play at the rim and then find shooters around it. I thought Dele gave us good minutes. Each time Dele's been called on, he's been ready. So, I thought Thon, particularly in the first half, I think he close to double digits, made a couple threes and some free throws. I thought he was really helpful.
Just Blake and Giannis obviously went head to head for, when they were on the floor. It's kind of a marquee matchup. How did you see how Giannis went in there on both ends?
Yeah, I thought Giannis was good. I thought some of his passing early was really great and didn't always lead to an assist. Maybe it was like a hockey assist or we missed some good looks, but I think he puts a lot of fear in people when he's really finding shooters and spraying it around. And Blake's having a great year, so those two guys are high level players, and I thought they were both good.
DJ a little bit before the game. He obviously gets in today. You know, what can it do for his confidence, not just get in, but to make two shots right off the bat?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, anytime when you've kind of unfortunately started the year with, you know, a couple kind of injuries and not been able to play. So for him to get a few minutes and make a couple shots, you know, get out there and mix it up a little bit is really helpful. You know, I think we're a little thin in the big spot. So, you know, we look forward to hopefully continuing his progress. Well, I mean, I like the word test. You know, where we stack up, I'm not as, you know, that. But I certainly, you know, starting with tonight and the Warriors, everybody knows how good they are and how they test you. And then the same with Toronto. And I think those are great for a team. You know, you learn from them, really win or lose, and what it's going to take to play against the elite team. So I think our guys all look forward to that. We look forward to it.
We know you can do that. Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. What play had you screaming? Brought to you by Palermo Screaming Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas.
Bucks win 115-92 over the Detroit Pistons. Solid win on their home floor as they gear up for an 8:30 p.m. showdown on Friday night with the Golden State Warriors. That game will be on ESPN, nationally televised. If you could get yourself a ticket, that's one I'd want to go to. And if anybody's got an extra ticket, maybe hit me up on Twitter at Ryan Horvat. And maybe my man Mitch Ross. We'll all go together. Enjoy that one. But we'll get into that presser here in a second. We just heard from Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer following the Milwaukee Bucks win tonight. And so we found out about 90 minutes, I believe 85, 90 minutes before tip-off.
That's what he said.
That Chris Middleton would not be in the lineup tonight due to personal reasons. But I didn't even hear anybody ask what the personal reason. Maybe they're respecting his privacy right now. Hopefully we'll hear a little bit more with Matt Velasquez before we get off air tonight. But no Chris Middleton. Personal reasons, this following him being benched in New York. And I'm not speculating or making anything of it, but the timing, Mitch.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
The timing is not great, certainly.
Right.
There's no question that it's, you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, it very well could be that there was, you know, a death in the family or something. He had to go, you know, out of town or who knows. But again, just, you know, and Middleton would never strike me as the type of guy to cause a problem in a locker room. And from all intents and purposes, and Matt Velasquez wrote about it as well, that it you know, they cleared the air and it seemed like everybody, the whole team, moved on.
It's kind of like when.
So maybe it's just a coincidence.
And that's what I'm thinking. It's kind of like when I just mentioned I had the flu for the second time in 1 month, but it's almost like.
Just bad luck.
When you call off of work, like. Or let's say, like, you go to a big party or you go to a concert and you see your boss on a Wednesday, like, you just happen to run into him or one of your coworkers, and then Thursday you happen to have, like, the real flu, not the brew flu.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is just great timing.
Yeah.
I'm sick, and they just saw me last night out. So that's kind of like what the situation is. Coming off being benched in a loss to the New York Knicks, who stink, and a no-show tonight. But now it is time for our screaming play of the game. What play had you screaming? Brought to you by Palermo Screaming Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas. I chose the Giannis posterized dunk to make it 30-21 at the end of the first quarter. Give him some momentum. Let's play that one back.
However, the Bucks are the best overall rebounding team. Giannis! That's an oh my Giannis. He has six.
Don't you wonder where Drummond was? He looks to a teammate like, not me.
An Johnny oh my Mac. Giannis, baby. That call courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Did a fantastic job on the game tonight. And Giannis, man, yeah. Even in limited action, that's the thing. Even when Giannis has an off night, he's just such a dominant player.
Yeah, his impact is incredible.
And you know who's a good player to watch? If your one knock on Giannis is hitting free throws under pressure or him developing that outside jump shot, you know who's a good guy? A good example of a player that you could still figure it out a little bit later on in your career. Blake Griffin, 29 years old right now, and he's shooting 37% from downtown. He figured it out. At one point, he just looked like he was going to dunk on you. He was in the low post. He could, you know, play with his back to the basket and face you up, but that looked like his game. Now, all of a sudden, he's got a jump shot. And here's the thing. I was arguing this actually a couple weeks back. real quick just to get off on a little tangent. The three-point shooting or lack thereof for Giannis doesn't really bother me, because go back and look at Tracy McGrady, look at Michael Jordan, look at Vince Carter. Vince Carter, maybe not a great example, but those guys were just athletes, man. Like, they could jump out of the gym. But Michael Jordan was never a three-point shooter. He wasn't an outside shooter. He developed that turnaround jumper, the fadeaway jumper, when he lost a little bit of that athletic. I mean, when he wasn't as athletic. I mean, he wasn't jumping out of the gym. He wasn't taking off from the free throw line. So he had to build his body, get stronger. Giannis is so lengthy. He's got the Euro step. I mean, he's got literally every move to get to the basket in the book. You can't stop him. So the jump shot, if it comes, nice. If it doesn't, I mean, you can't stop the guy. You just need shooters surrounding him. But the jump shot, that doesn't need to be developed until a little bit later. But once again, Bucks win 115-92, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Hit us up at 105.7FM, The Fan, on Twitter, on Facebook. Mitch, when you go back, you look at this game, 115-92, Bucks outscore the Pistons all four quarters in each quarter, no let up. Would you say this is their most complete game of the season? I mean, obviously, you had the 43-point drubbing of the Trailblazers, but...
I'll call it their most complete game in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a couple of weeks. I mean, they had a number of games pretty much just like this. The first, you know, that 7-0 start.
Yeah.
You know, the Magic game, or, you know, a couple of those games where they were actually had some weaker competition, mm-hmm. and kind of blew them out. And, you know, quiet the Sacramento game. I mean, there was some great highlights from that game as well, but... You know, that was a four-quarter game as well. They've had a number of them, actually, to start the season. But it's encouraging because they did kind of survive the first wave of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing some stuff, perhaps, off the court here, you know, as well. So that was no challenge. You know, they finding out last minute that Middleton would not be playing tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, breaking any news here, but he's certainly a very important part of this team, I think, for... You know, certainly at least the rest of the season. I don't think he's going anywhere. There's actually a lot of speculation on Twitter. Not a lot, but it's been thrown out there that John Wall was also not mm-hmm. playing for the Wizards tonight because of personal reasons. And I think you'd have to be the dumbest organization in probably pro sports to take on that contract.
No, thank you.
So I can't possibly see that. But that's a fact. Okay, so that's a fact. So Middleton mm-hmm. did not play tonight, and neither did John Wall for the Wizards. So to be determined. But the Bucks have sort of survived that first wave of, you know, up and down play, and here they come with, you know, starting a big week for more momentum off on the right foot tonight.
And it all starts with the defensive end. I mean, you hold the Pistons to 92 points tonight. As I mentioned, you know, you get caught up in a pick and roll early in the game. Budenholzer loses his mind over it, goes after a veteran player. They counter an opening basket with 9 consecutive points, and they never trail again. The Bucks lead 30-21 after the first quarter, 56-45 at halftime. Then they open up the third quarter with a 19-4 run. Third quarter, most important quarter in the NBA as far as taking over the momentum, in my opinion. Look what the Warriors do in the third quarter. Make that big run, blow teams out. Then you get guys like DJ Wilson some minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
As he gets set for a big primetime matchup coming up this Friday night. Once again, 115-92, Bucks winners over the Pistons. We'll be back with more. Give us a call, 414-799-1250, here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, Bucks fans. Let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's is back, baby. Back!
Bucks 115-92 winners tonight over the Detroit Pistons at home at the Fizer Forum. Tomorrow morning at 8:35, my main guys Chuck and Winkler, Chuck and Bart, they're going to ask you who tonight's Chili's MVB was. Get yourself some free food at Chili's by mentioning Eric Bledsoe. Plays 26 minutes tonight, 10-17 from the floor, 27 points, 4 assists, 3 boards, just 1 turnover. Eric Bledsoe, your Chili's MVB. Chili's is back, baby. Back. Now it's time. Joining us on the Great Midwest Hotline, Matt Velasquez. Let's hit that.
This guy's on the inside. After every game, listen to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show for the latest from JS Online's Matt Velasquez. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola. This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Once again, Bucks 115-92 winners tonight over the Detroit Pistons. Matt Blazquez joining us right now on the Great Midwest Hotline. Matt, thanks for taking some time out with us tonight, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do it.
So the Bucks on paper, this is a game that everybody says, well, you got to beat the Pistons. You're at home. But the Pistons, man, winners of 8 of their last 11, playing some decent hoops. Blake Griffin having a solid year, 11th in scoring. He's kind of running the whole offense, leads the team in assists. What did you see tonight in this one?
Yeah, I think the Bucks just came out with a certain level of aggression. I think Eric Bledsoe was a big part of that. And, you know, they really just rolled. I mean, they played really, really well off the jump, kind of got a sizable margin, and were able to, regardless of who Mike Budenholzer put in there, they got good contributions from up and down the bench. And then you have that third quarter start with 19-4 over 4.5 minutes, and suddenly it's not really a game anymore. So just a really strong defensive effort. You know, Mike Budenholzer said a lot of togetherness in it a couple times during his post game, and I think that all bears out.
I'm glad you brought up the defensive effort, because we've seen, well, I mean, obviously over the weekend against the Knicks, they were just hitting some tough shots. That you're never going to see that again from that Knicks team. But tonight we see Coach Budenholzer, he calls a timeout and kind of goes off a little bit on Brook Lopez after getting caught up in a pick and roll. Talk about that a little bit and what changed defensively after that. Did you see any adjustments after that timeout?
I don't think there's anything specifically that got changed. I think it's one of those situations where, I mean, they were putting Thonmaker in pick and rolls as often as they could, mm-hmm. trying to force him to figure out what to do and how to navigate that. And in that situation, I think Budenholzer might have just been upset with the coverage that Brook Lopez was showing, and maybe the lack of communication or something like that. It ended up kind of blowing over. But in general, just the team as a whole, 20 Pistons turnovers, a bunch of Bucks steals, just a lot of opportunistic defense, and guys were contesting and making things tough. So just overall, a solid defensive performance. Anytime you can hold a team to 92 points is a good night.
Absolutely. Talking with Matt Velasquez from the Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter. The story heading into tonight's game, obviously Chris Middleton being benched in New York for pretty much the entire second half and overtime in the loss. Tonight, a late scratch. We heard it from Coach Bud about 85, 90 minutes before tip-off, a personal matter. Any idea what that is?
No, I haven't heard anything. I think, with these personal matters, no one really wants to kind of let that out. It's a personal thing. Obviously, that's why I listed that way. They want to respect each individual player's privacy. I do know that Giannis, he said he didn't learn about it until about an hour before the game. And, that at the end of his media session, I was like, man, I haven't played without Chris in like a long time. He goes, I can't remember the last time I didn't play with Chris. It was crazy. It was weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
The hope is that he'd be back, but as of right now, I'm not sure about what the situation is for Friday.
Yeah, so no idea about Friday. Just a total team effort. In fact, the Bucks outscore the Pistons all four quarters. You mentioned it. Everybody kind of gets some run tonight. A lot of guys in double figures. Guys even like DJ Wilson getting some run. What's the atmosphere like in that locker room following a big win?
It was a lot of fun. Really low key. I walked in near Kane Pittman. Good Twitter follow. Does good work for the pick and roll. But Thonmaker was debating Giannis over the pronunciation of Nutella versus Nutella. and Thon had to pull on his fellow Aussie and be like, it's Nutella, right? And Kane obviously agreed. And I said, no, it's Nutella. And Giannis was like, see, it's Nutella. And so I just went back and forth. And that's what happens when you have a win after a couple of days off and everybody's happy. Everybody gets to relax. Everybody gets to play. You're debating the pronunciation of Nutella versus Nutella. And, that's always a positive.
Yeah, always a positive. Nobody talking about any nut shots or anything like that. So we brought up Friday night, 8:30 p.m. tip-off, nationally televised game. You beat the Warriors once already this season. Now they're coming back at full strength. Obviously, Draymond's still out. We're not going to see DeMarcus Cousins for a while. But Steph Curry back. He had a monster night. What are your expectations? What do the Bucks have to do to pull out a victory against a pretty solid, obviously, Warriors team that's kind of coming back to life a little bit now that they're getting healthy?
I think they need to do what they did last time against the Warriors, which is kind of blitz them early, attack inside without Draymond. You have a couple of guys in there that I guess you could say are suspect defensive players in terms of their interior. And I think Giannis looks at guys like Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell and just thinks that he can score against – I mean, he thinks he can score against anybody. And so those guys against the Warriors, they're not necessarily – standouts in terms of their defense. And so if they can move the ball, if they can shoot well, if they can dominate the paint. I remember they dominated the paint to a high degree in that first game against the Warriors. And, you know, people, you know, will mention, okay, the Bucks played the Warriors that one time with no Draymond and Steph got hurt. Well, Steph got hurt when they were down by like 20-something.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like he was hurt off the jump like some of the games the Warriors have played. So, you know, you're getting the teams basically at the same strength as long as Chris Middleton come back. And Ersan Ilyasova, talked to him after the game. He said he's doing better from his concussion. Kind of going to see how things go tomorrow. He practiced today, so we'll see what his availability is for Friday. But if they can both be healthy or as healthy as they were in that battle at Oracle, you know, then we'll see if the Bucks can replicate what they did in terms of really putting it on the Warriors that night.
One last question, Matt, before we let you go. Eric Bledsoe matches his season high tonight, 27 points. He's plus 14 on the floor, but turns the ball over just one time, 4 assists tonight, 26 minutes. What have you saw differently from him these last couple weeks?
You know, I think throughout this season, I think his decision-making has been really good. You know, obviously, the turnovers are going to come when you have the ball in your hands as often as he does. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as Giannis. I mean, Giannis has a pretty high turnover number two. But, you know, you're going to have to just deal with that when it comes to high-usage guys. You know, but his decision-making has definitely been really good. His shots have come from his you know, kind of sweet spots along the perimeter, as well as, you know, finishing inside the paint. He's kind of knocked out a lot of the mid-range shots that were really frustrating last year. And just overall, just making like I said, making good decisions. And today, I think he saw the opportunity against whoever was guarding him, whether it was Ish Smith, who left the game early due to an injury, you know, or other guys, Reggie Jackson at the point of the attack, where he thought he could just blow by him, and he did. And so he used his speed and quickness to get around guys, get to the rim, and either score himself or kick out to other guys for shots. Just really played a solid game tonight and was a big reason why the Bucks were able to run away with it.
Matt, thank you very much, sir. Go home, get some rest. You got an 8:30 p.m. tip-off Friday night. It's going to be a late one.
Oh, don't remind me.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care. That was Matt Velasquez, who joined us on the Great Midwest Hotline.
Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Let's do a little forward.
It seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
Who's banged up on the... What about the next game? Some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way at ffpwi.com.
Sorry. 92 winners over the Pistons tonight. Some forward thinking. Coming up Friday night, a big one at the Pfizer Forum. If you could get yourself some tickets, might be beneficial to go check that one out. Golden State Warriors in town here in Milwaukee. Steph Curry, a full go. No Draymond, most likely, but you'll get Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. The rest of the gang will all be there. And the Warriors tonight, 129-105 winners over the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road. Golden State now 17-9 on the season. Beating up on the Cavs tonight. Something tells me that will not be a rematch of the NBA Finals this season, as the Cavs now 5-19 on the season. But once again...
But remember, the Eastern Conference goes through Cleveland.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So, according to Tristan Thompson.
My forward thinking, man, is I am just curious to see how the Bucks come out on Friday night, how the Warriors come out. You know, does that loss bother them from earlier in the season, getting clubbed by the Bucks like that?
Probably.
Are they going to come out on the road and be the defending champion Warriors? Or are they going to be the complacent Warriors where they're going to show up, half-ass it in the first half, and then come out and try to blow you out in the third quarter? So I'm excited. I think that I've had this one circled on my schedule because it's in Milwaukee, and you get the defending champs, the most exciting team in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors. Once again, 17-9. They're 6-7 this season on the road. I would absolutely love to just watch the Bucks club the Warriors with a healthy Steph Curry. Not saying Steph Curry fakes injuries or anything, but every time they're down 15, 20 points and it gets late, does he not hit the exits?
I mean, it certainly looked that way in Golden State when the Bucks took it to him.
It really did.
I thought, I'm just saying. He rage quit a little bit.
That's how I feel. But anyway, tonight, Steph Curry, 42 points.
And you can do that, you know, when you have five All-Stars in your starting lineup. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Cousins doesn't have to, you know, I thought I saw, what, 2 weeks into the season, he was already, like, cleared for contact.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're not going to rush him back, and you don't have to. So, I mean, when you're Steph Curry, all you have to do is, if you want to take 2 weeks off, you can.
Just right.
Get a little groin injury.
I have a theory.
Walk off the court.
I already have this whole DeMarcus Cousins situation figured out this season. Here's what's going to happen with DeMarcus Cousins. You're not going to see him before Christmas, obviously, since Christmas is right around the corner. You'll see him those final 2 months of the season. He'll come back, ease his way into a bench role, probably give you like 10, 11 points per game. Warriors will get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden, he's just going to go off. He's going to go off in a series and average like 25 points per game, 14 boards, a block, 4 assists, and that's what's going to happen because then he's going to play himself into a huge deal next year, even coming off that blown Achilles.
Or he's going to completely destroy their chemistry.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was... I thought it was... I enjoyed him getting a technical foul in street clothes a few months back. I don't know that he's going to destroy that chemistry more than... I think it's already kind of taken a hit. They know Kevin Durant's leaving at the end of the season. My theory was Kevin Durant was going to L.A. to play with LeBron James, market himself, because he kind of did what LeBron did when LeBron went to Miami. He wanted to get those titles. Because now in the NBA, first you make a name for yourself, you get your sneaker deal, you make your money, then you need to win titles.
Well,
because if you don't win titles, you're Charles Barkley. Nobody wants to be known as the guy without titles.
Correct. That's
but in doing that, you become the villain. And then you have to change your image around like LeBron. He went to Miami, became the villain, got his ring so he could always be in that comparison with Michael Jordan in that conversation.
So I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. It's not that the only people that care about titles are players, but it's players and former players that care about titles. So they don't want to be the guy that goes out and doesn't get a championship.
Right.
So, you know, you saw LeBron and KD snake their way to a title or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they got that out of the way, you know, because their brethren, their players and former players, the NBA brethren, don't hold that over them now.
Yeah, and you look at like the 90s NBA, for example.
Meanwhile, 99% of the fans, well, that you took the easy way out, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I mean, and in his defense, in 20 years, no one's really going to remember that.
They'll just remember the titles.
Right.
And that is exactly... That's where I was going with that, because there were some great players in the 90s. Let me throw a couple out there. Grant Hill, Mitch Richmond, Tracy McGrady. 20 years from now, my son will have no idea who those guys were. But he could go back and he could say, oh, Akeem Olajuwon was a great
center.
He won't
know who Mitch Richmond is.
No, because he never won anything.
He played for Sacramento.
He spent most of his time
in
Sacramento.
Golden State was trash, which was my entire childhood.
Yeah.
And people forget that until about 2011.
Right, but he was a great defender and he averaged like 24, 25 a game, but on a bad team. That's my point, though. If you don't win a title, nobody's going to remember you, no matter how great of a player you were. I mean, nobody talks about Grant Hill really anymore. You see some highlights when he was at Duke, but
he was hurt all the time.
Well, so was Tracy McGrady.
True.
That's a pretty good point that you make right there. But what I'm saying is, in 20 years, that's how you're going to be remembered. Your legacy is built on titles.
It is legacy. What they these guys all really want.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
so
you know, a couple of them took the easy way out.
Yeah, so Curry, though, tonight, Stephen Curry, he makes 9 three-pointers, scores 42 points. Kevin Durant scores 25. And the Warriors top the Cavaliers 129-105. Next up for them, they head into Milwaukee. Friday night, it's a big one. It's an 8:30 p.m. tip, nationally televised, and that's our forward thinking. Take a quick break. And actually, what do we got going on here, Mitch? We're going to wrap up, I guess.
Yes, we are. There you go.
I want to go all night. I never get to host these shows. Just kidding.
I know.
Mitch was giving me the sign. So thanks for tuning in tonight. Ryan Horvath, the mayor, Mitch Ross, my main man, Evan Heffelfinger. Evan, they said I said your name wrong on Twitter. I got blasted for that. Did I say your name wrong?
Say it again.
Evan Heffelfinger. I think I'm.
You might have said Aaron.
Aaron.
At the time. That's
Oh, it's because,
that,
man.
That was good old KS tweeting in.
You know what?
I didn't know Twitter knew my name. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, even Twitter knows your name, man. And I got called out because I got Aaron Rodgers on the mind. I got Packers on the mind. And tomorrow morning, I'm sure you're going to hear plenty of Packer talk. Chuck and Winkler, 6 to 10 a.m. Bill Michaels, 10 to 2. And then the Wendy's Big Show, the award-winning Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6. They'll break down this Bucks win for you. And they'll talk about the Packers. There's a whole big mess of a situation going there. One final time, Bucks back on track tonight. Get a big win. We'll see you Friday night here on 105.7 FM, the The Fan.